Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Math Games with Bad Drawing 75-1-4 Simple, Challenging. Go Anywhere Games and Why. They Matter by Ben Orlin is a playful nonfiction collection of mathematical games for classrooms, families, and curious adults. Orlin, known for explaining mathematics through humor and deliberately crude illustrations, gathers more than 70 paper and pencil, coin, dice, and conversation-based games that can be learned quickly but reward repeated play. The book belongs to the intersection of recreational mathematics, educational resource, and game compendium. Its purpose is not simply to list rules. Each game is paired with commentary that explains what kind of mathematical thinking it encourages, such as spatial reasoning, probability, strategic planning, pattern recognition, or logical inference. Games such as Ultimate Tic-Tac-Toe, Sprouts, Battleship, Dots and Boxes, and Quantum Go Fish show how simple constraints can create rich decisions. The result is a practical guide to experiencing mathematics as play, rather than as isolated calculation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, simple rules are used to create deep mathematical decision-making. A central idea of math games with bad drawings is that a game does not need elaborate equipment or long instructions to produce meaningful mathematical thought. Many selections use only paper, pens, coins, or familiar objects, yet their rules generate complex decisions once players begin to look ahead. This is why games such as Sprouts, Dots and Boxes, and Ultimate Tic-Tac-Toe fit the book so well. Each begins with a small set of permitted moves, but the consequences of those moves multiply rapidly. Players must anticipate future positions, recognize traps, control space, and decide whether a short-term gain weakens a long-term plan. This structure mirrors a core feature of mathematics. Simple assumptions can lead to surprisingly rich systems. Orlin presents these games as experiences rather than lectures, allowing the reader to encounter mathematical complexity through play. The value is not that every player explicitly names a theorem or formula. The value is that the act of choosing, testing, losing, and revising trains habits of reasoning that are closely aligned with mathematical practice. Secondly, the book treats games as a bridge between recreation and mathematical explanation. The collection is not merely a rulebook. Orlin frames each game with explanatory notes that connect the activity to a mathematical idea, strategic structure, or intellectual habit. This gives the book a different function from a typical family game anthology. A reader can play for fun, but the accompanying commentary invites reflection on why the game works and what kind of thinking it rewards. A game involving hidden information, for example, can prompt attention to inference and probability. A spatial game can highlight territory, connectivity, or symmetry. A counting or pattern game can lead players to notice invariance, parity, or efficient search. The explanations remain accessible, avoiding the formality of a textbook, but they preserve the analytical purpose of recreational mathematics. This dual design is important because it prevents the games from becoming disconnected classroom fillers. Instead, each activity can become an entry point into a concept. Orlin shows that mathematical explanation can follow curiosity, not always precede it, and that a game can make an abstract structure feel concrete before it is named. Thirdly, the format supports classroom use without requiring specialized materials. One practical strength of the book is its portability. Because many games require only inexpensive, common materials, teachers can use them without relying on screens, commercial kits, or extensive preparation. This matters in classroom settings where time, budget, and student readiness vary widely. The games can be introduced as warm-ups, enrichment tasks, partner activities, or strategy investigations. They also offer a low-pressure way to engage students who may resist conventional math exercises. Instead of beginning with a worksheet or a formula, the teacher can begin with a challenge that has visible rules and immediate feedback. Students then discuss moves, compare strategies, and justify decisions. That discussion can be mathematically productive even when the arithmetic demands are modest. The book is especially useful because it covers different categories of play, including spatial, numerical, combinatorial, risk-based, and information-centered games. This variety lets educators select activities that match instructional goals. Its classroom value depends on thoughtful facilitation, but Orlin provides a flexible toolbox rather than a rigid curriculum. Fourthly, humor and deliberately rough drawings lower the barrier to mathematical participation. Ben Orlin uses humor and intentionally crude drawings as more than decoration. They establish a tone in which mathematical play feels approachable rather than intimidating. The title itself signals that polish is not the point. In a subject often associated with precision, neatness, and right answers, the rough visual style shifts attention toward experimentation and conversation. This is especially relevant for readers who carry math anxiety or who assume that mathematical talent belongs only to a narrow group. The informal presentation suggests that one can enter the activity before mastering the underlying theory. The drawings also help clarify rules quickly, Since many games are easier to understand through a rough diagram than through abstract description alone, the humor keeps the pace light, but it does not remove intellectual substance. Instead, it creates permission to make mistakes, try a bad strategy, laugh at the outcome, and try again. That cycle is central to both good gameplay and good mathematical learning, where failed attempts often reveal the structure of the problem. Lastly, repeated play reveals strategy, variation, and the limits of easy answers. The phrase that many games take little time to learn but much longer to master captures an important design principle behind the collection. Orlin selects games that remain interesting after the first play because they contain strategic depth, meaningful variation, or hidden structure. A weak game becomes predictable once players understand the rules. A strong mathematical game keeps producing new questions. Is there a winning first move? Can a position be forced? When is risk worthwhile? What information is missing? And how should a player adapt to an opponent? These questions make the book useful beyond casual entertainment. They encourage analysis over memorization. The reader learns that a rule set can be explored the way one explores a mathematical system, by testing cases, looking for patterns, proposing general strategies, and searching for exceptions. At the same time, the book does not imply that every game has a neat solution available to the casual player. Its appeal lies partly in the space between intuition and proof, where playful experimentation gradually becomes more disciplined reasoning. In conclusion, Math Games with Bad Drawings is best suited for K-12 math teachers, homeschooling families, parents looking for screen-free intellectual play, students who enjoy puzzles, and adults interested in recreational mathematics. Its practical benefit is immediate readers can open the book, choose a game, and begin with minimal materials. Its deeper benefit is that it reframes mathematical activity as strategic exploration rather than performance under pressure. Players practice prediction, argument, pattern noticing, and revision through situations that feel social and playful. For educators, the book can support engagement, differentiation, and mathematical discussion, provided the games are chosen with clear instructional intent. For families, it offers a way to make mathematical thinking part of ordinary leisure without turning play into homework. The book stands out among math activity books because it combines a broad game collection with concise explanation, humor, and a distinctive visual style. Many resources either emphasize puzzles for solitary solving or classroom tasks tied closely to curriculum standards. Orlin occupies a different space. He treats games as living mathematical objects that can be enjoyed first and analyzed afterward. That balance of accessibility, portability, and intellectual substance is the main reason the book has value beyond novelty. If you would like to support Ben Orlin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.